Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
That's hot. Or is it? You're listening to Bandwagons.
Talking about things that other people are talking about.
That was very loud, Breedum. Sorry.
Yours was.
Was it very loud for you?
I had water.
Was that
in my
loud
mouth.
For
I
you?
Just panicked.
Maybe it's loud for me. I don't know. Anyway,
it's the same button.
Is it the same button? Will you turn it down? Yeah, that's.
Is that better?
I actually don't think it is, but anyway, we'll persevere. She's turning again. The lady's not turning. That's better. Yeah, we got it. That's a sweet spot. Baby, don't stop. Hello, we are back. Bandwagons, back in the saddle, talking about another thing. How are you doing, Breed?
I'm very good. I was going to say I'm very warm, but I'm trying not to do that anymore.
we do say that an awful lot on this podcast.
Yeah, I'm very good. Like, not enjoying this lockdown as much, but also not hating it yet.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm in a similar boat. I'd like to be able to go home. I don't like having that choice taken away from me.
Yeah. Have you ever wanted to go home more than when they tell you you can't?
No, probably not. But otherwise, yeah, finding it all right. Helps that the weather is incredibly
divine.
Nice. Yeah, really, really nice. I didn't really do much over the weekend. Just kept a low profile, ate some food, tried to support some local businesses by eating rings around myself.
I love that for you.
Went to a park, encountered some dogs. It was good.
Do you like that park?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it too.
Will we say which one?
No, because I don't want people to follow me.
Yeah, fair actually. It's a nice park though. Load of staffies. Met two staffies. A mam and a daughter. And the daughter was called Lexi.
They're not called mams and daughters when they're dogs.
They are.
They're not.
What are they called then?
I couldn't
tell.
Yeah,
shut your face. A mammy and a daughter. You're 19, shut your face. Yeah, we had a laugh with them anyway, but yeah, that's all I did. Anyway.
The only thing I really did over the weekend was watch this bloody documentary everyone's talking about.
Yeah, after I aggressively suggested it
this
on
is
multiple
Paris.
Occasions.
I don't think that was
this is something. Paris. This is Paris. Say Paris. This is Paris.
I can't remember who told me about it. I don't think it was you. Maybe it was you. No.
Not originally.
You sent it to me actually ages ago and was like.
Oh yeah, so it was me.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Interesting.
We should do this for the podcast. And I didn't know what it was.
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh, he's fixing it. It was twisting again. The mic was twisting.
And is it because you keep twisting
Shane
it?
Shane couldn't look at me. It was because I was holding it like an actual mic. Like an actual mic, as if it isn't a mic. Like a singer mic.
So we are talking about Paris Hilton.
We are talking about Paris Hilton. On the basis of, she just released a new documentary, YouTube Originals, called This Is Paris, which looks to pull back the curtain on the original influencer.
Can you believe she's 39?
I can't.
She looks incredible.
After she looks really, really good.
She looks at least 29.
Probably, yeah.
At most 29.
Probably she definitely is the same person on Speed Dial that J-Lo has or something, do you know? Like,
yeah.
She's had very, very good work done.
Yeah, you have to, what do they say about Botox? It's preventative. You have to get in there early.
Yeah.
I have the soundboard up, but I just don't know when to use it. So if you wanted me to use it, would you just like give me a signal?
I'm not sure that's how it works.
Okay.
But, yeah, we are talking about Paris Hilton. What's your first Do you remember when you first kind of heard of her or knew about her?
Not particularly. I think I was going to say I was too young for her, but she, you're younger than me.
Yep.
I think I definitely heard about her. I never watched The Simple Life. I didn't know. I knew obviously about the Hilton Hotels, but that was like, it's very like surface level up until like when I watched the documentary. I knew shag all about her, to be honest.
I remember her going to prison for the DUI when she went for like 3 or 4 days, because I used to read People obsessively.
She would have been on E! Quite a bit, wouldn't she?
Yeah.
In the news.
Because The Simple Life moved to E! Then after like a couple of seasons as well. I do remember watching some of the later seasons with my sister, but I don't really remember what happened. Like, I would.
That's because nothing happens in that show.
Well, like, I think people do regard them as like peak comedic reality TV. But again, I think that might have just been like the first one or two series, which I did not watch.
Yeah.
So, but I just don't think it was. I think I was too young to get what it was, really.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Will I quiz you on, seeing as you know more than me?
Yeah.
On how much you actually know about Paris Hilton before we dive into it?
Yeah.
Should I do like a little soundboard if you get it right?
Yeah.
Okay, it's going to be delayed because it's all happening on the same laptop.
Go for gold. No, I was going to suggest which sound, but
all right,
that'll ruin the illusion for people.
Okay, I'll change it up, sure.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, no, because you need to have a sound for a right answer and a sound for a wrong answer.
Okay. I have them both.
Okay.
Paris Hilton is the most famous heiress of the Hilton Hotel's
True.
Fortune. No.
Oh.
The hospitality brand was founded by her great-grandfather, who was A. Conrad Hilton, B. Baron Hilton, or C. Stephen Hilton.
I'm going to take A. Conrad Hilton.
Oh no, there's such a delay.
I love you, bitch.
Yeah, in
was
fairness,
the one you wanted?
I actually have that in my notes. So Baron is her brother.
Baron is her brother.
Who's Stephen Hilton when he's at home?
I don't know. Paris Hilton once said, "You should live every day like it's your birthday." When is hers? Is it, sorry, A, February 17th, B, July 31st, or C, October 26th?
February 17th.
Yeah. Hang on. Do you want a different one?
That's hot.
Again, I also had that in my notes, so.
What is Paris W. Hilton's middle name? Is it Wendolyn, Valeria, or Whitney? I did not write these answers.
Valeria? Something mad? I don't know. Rich people are tapped.
I love you, bitch.
Oh, no, sorry.
That's hot.
No, wait.
Oh, my God.
That was the one for wrong. It was wrong. I'll get it this time.
Okay.
Whitney.
Oh, yeah.
In the fall of 2004, Paris Hilton's first book became a New York Times bestseller. What was the title of this autobiography? That's So Hot, How to Live Like a Socialite, Confessions of an Heiress, a tongue-in-cheek peek behind the pose.
Tongue-in-cheek.
Or Rich Girl Problems, Life and Times of Paris Hilton.
It's the heiress one, B.
That's hot.
Yeah, you're definitely.
I know my literature.
Though she never became a professional, Hilton learned how to play which musical instrument at age 5? The flute, the clarinet, the piano, or the violin?
Oh, clarinet?
Oh, don't fuck it up.
Oh my God.
It was the piano.
Oh, I thought it was too obvious.
Other than being a celebutante, Paris is an accomplished actress. She won a Teen Choice Award for her role in which 2000s film? The Cat in the Hat, House of Wax, or Repo, the Genetic Opera?
Oh, I think, is it Repo?
Oh my God. Oh,
it was House of Wax.
Fuck. Is that Chad Michael Murray's in that, isn't he?
I have no idea.
I think he is.
Oh, there's more. Do you want to do more?
Yeah. We'll do like 3 more.
Okay. Though we've never met. I didn't write this quiz. Which is not a fragrance by Paris? Dazzle, Can Can, Glitter, Heiress, or Tease?
Are they Can Can, Heiress,
Glitter?
I'd go Glitter.
It was.
Oh my God.
Fuck.
Can Can. They're all saying these are right. Maybe I'm clicking the wrong one. True or false, Paris Hilton is not a blue-eyed, blonde-haired bombshell. She naturally has dark hair and brown eyes.
False.
False, you're dead right. Hang on.
I love you, bitch.
Last one to take the crown.
Okay. Paris never earned her high school diploma. Instead, she earned a GED after dropping out of secondary school. Which high school did she not attend? Provo Canyon School, Bel Air Institute, Canterbury School, or Marywood Palm Valley School?
Canterbury?
Oh, do you know what?
What?
You're not going to believe what I've done.
Not read-wise.
I think you have to like submit your answers at the end. But I've just been, that's just been put, coming up as a tick.
Oh,
even if it's wrong, it comes up as right.
Oh my god.
Let's just say I don't know.
It fucking doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't
you
matter.
Did really well.
Thanks.
Hang on.
See, maybe if she'd, are you gonna do it?
We have applause here somewhere. Oh yeah.
Thanks, thank you. Thank you. Listen, maybe if she'd replied to my fucking DM on Twitter,
yeah.
she could have verified, she could have fact checked all of this.
I can't believe I didn't check that quiz before.
All of the lies. I can.
Why does she follow you?
Couldn't tell you. Paris Lilton follows me on Twitter for some reason. Followed me a couple of years ago. I don't think
she kind of the Daily Edge.
Don't think she mans her own Twitter. So I messaged her yesterday at 1:30 saying, "Hey Paris, how are you? My name..."
Balls.
My name is Selena Jones. I'm reaching out to you about your documentary. This is Paris. Bear in mind, also, I hadn't watched it yet. Thank you for being so open and honest in sharing that with the world.
Sharing what? You didn't even know.
I was wondering if your schedule allowed for it, would you be willing to come on my podcast, Bandwagons, just for the sake of the message I sent Maya? No, it's not mine.
Did she read it? Please tell
to
me.
To talk about it with myself, my co-host, Breed, please. She was similarly affected by your story. Oh my god, I'm a pathological liar. No, if not. I can imagine you're very busy. She didn't read it, no.
She's really busy with like
Fuck
This
sake.
Morning America and all.
Like, if we'd been left on red, I would have actually accepted that. You know what I mean? Like, she would have acknowledged that we existed in a world. Her and Paul Mescal, I swear to god.
Yeah, she's gone right.
Her
and
Paul Mescal.
Gavin James. On our people,
Gavin James,
people we hate list.
Christine Quinn, enemies of the pod. Tony Cantwell, enemies
no,
of the podcast.
Tony's
no,
off
sorry, Tony's
now.
Off, but he was previously on it.
He's off it. He's on the middle list.
He's in the podcast
he's
purgatory.
In the neutral, yeah.
He's the Switzerland of our podcast friends. Anyway, where do we want to go from here?
Paris Whitney Hilton, an American media personality, businesswoman, socialite, model, singer, actress, and DJ.
She's done it all. Continues to do.
Where
it
do we
all.
Start?
Where do we start? As you said, she is the great-granddaughter of Conrad Hilton, who founded all those hotels.
Well, I talk about her immediate family.
Yeah, you can, yeah.
So her mom is Kathy Hilton. She's an American actress, socialite, fashion designer, and philanthropist. What's a philanthropist?
Someone that helps people. I was about to ask, what's a socialite? Is it just someone that goes out?
Yeah.
We could be socialites.
I'm a socialite.
Yeah. gory socialite.
I don't go in gory. Stop.
O2 forever.
She met Richard Hilton at the age of 15 while attending a private high school in 1979.
That's the voice Breed uses when things get problematic.
She married him in 1979 and she has two half-sisters. Can you name them?
I can. Kim and Kyle Richards,
Who listeners might know from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Kathy has only appeared very, like, a handful of times on it so far. I'm only on season 4 and she's addicted.
You're on season 4 already?
Yeah, I don't have a job.
That's fair.
She's not very nice to them. She's their half-sister. So they have the same mom, but I think she's a good bit older than them. I don't know if they fully grew up together.
Yeah.
Not if she was, like, getting married at 15.
Yeah.
But anyway, she married Richard Hilton, as I said, or as his friends call him, Rick. He was born in 1955 and is an American businessman. He's the chairman and co-founder of Hilton and Highland, a real estate brokerage firm based in Beverly Hills, California, that specializes in homes and estates in Beverly Hills, Hollywood Hills, and all around that area. I don't know much about him. He's very private, isn't he?
Oppenheim Group, watch your back. Yeah, he doesn't contribute to this most recent documentary at all, but the 2008 documentary they did, Paris Not France, that she did with MTV.
Best name of a documentary ever.
Yeah, very clever. It's Kathy and Richard. Kathy does most of the talking, but he is there and he is contributing to like stories about her and what Paris was like growing up and kind of the perception of her even from a young age and whatever. And like they talked about like the sex tape and the boyfriend at the time, and they're like, yeah, he doesn't exist to us. But there's a thing mentioned in the This Is Paris that came out this month where I think Kathy says it, where she's like, yeah, he's very private, he's not.
Are they still together?
They are still together, yeah, but he just didn't want
to keep the head down.
Yeah.
Sister.
Yeah. Great piece of advice for you.
Her sister Nikki was born in 1983. She's 2 years younger than Paris. Older than
Yeah,
Paris?
But I always thought she was older.
She's beautiful in the latest documentary.
Yeah.
She's really grown into herself. She's a businesswoman as well, socialite, model, fashion designer. She's a member of the Hilton family by birth and a member of the Rothschilds family through her marriage to James Rothschild in 2015.
Yeah.
And they have two daughters, Lily Grace Victoria Rothschild and Teddy Marlon Rothschild. I'm definitely saying that wrong. Rothschild? Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Who cares?
Paris also has two brothers. Can you name them both?
Baron?
Yeah.
Oh, I looked up the other one earlier. Don't know. Fucking John?
No, it's a family name.
Rick?
No.
Richard?
No.
Kyle?
No. Kyle?
Leroy? I don't know. Could be fucking anything.
You're just naming the cast of Fame.
Is it something you could see?
Conrad.
Oh!
Baron Hilton II is not much known about him. He's very private as well. He's married to...
Is he not a bit of a bald boy?
No. He's married to a German royal, Tessa Grafen von Walderdorf. Oh, wow. I didn't even make that up. And has a baby with her.
Oh, great.
And then finally, the youngest, Conrad Hughes Hilton, born in 1994. The only thing I could find on him was Conrad Hilton tells a judge he's in good health 1 year after screaming slurs in court and saying cops molested him following his arrest for stealing a car and violating his ex's restraining order.
Jesus Christ.
But he's doing well now.
Great. Good for him.
He's the bold boy, I think.
I really feel like I read something about someone on a plane.
Oh
my God. Baron looks very... What's a non-problematic way to say this? He looks like bit like Aryan.
He does, yeah.
Do you know, like he looks
very
like
very blonde. He's what you're trying to say.
Yeah, he's very. This picture I'm looking at the minute is very.
No, he's very they're blonde. Actually
maybe
good looking boys.
Conrad. No, I need to find this. Conrad's a nice name. What do you think?
His wife looks like Millie Bobby Brown, but she's not.
God, yeah, thank God. Oh, I couldn't be dealing with that. Conrad, what is his name? Conrad Hilton. I'm Googling.
Conrad Hughes Hilton.
I just because they are Conrad Irish. Hilton too. Yeah, do you reckon there is some?
No, there is. They're like Irish and Scottish and everything.
Hilton family struggles to keep their latest.
Are you trying to find a picture of Conrad?
But it's her younger brother Conrad who's making all the headlines. Oh yeah, so this was the whole thing of.
Yeah.
After being arrested early Saturday morning for allegedly attempting to break into the house of E.G. Daly and violating a restraining order, her daughter Hunter Daly Salomon had against him, as well as allegedly stealing Salomon's father's Bentley. Yeah, he is having a banger. Anyway,
you would though if you had that much money, like.
Yeah, rich people just shouldn't. You shouldn't be allowed to get that much money because it just. I think it gets to your brain. I think the worms accelerate when you have that much money. I think they know. I think the worms are like, eat the rich. And then they just start going on your brain.
I think it's the inbreeding, probably.
Probably the inbreeding as well. Yeah, 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 yeah. And just generally being conservative, maybe. I don't know.
I can't say that, can we?
I'm sorry, rich people don't listen to this podcast. Where are we going from here?
Sex tape?
No. Yeah.
Okay, so she's most famous for the sex tape. That's how she kind of became like known pop culturally.
Yeah,
no, so it's actually not.
Well,
that's Kim Kardashian.
It definitely, in the same way that we spoke out with Kim, it kind of became one of the main talking points around her. She was basically flat out, going to clubs, was very well known
from a young age.
And because she was associated with the Hilton name, the paparazzi started following her and started having this interest in her because she was like 16, 17, 18, going to these clubs, was dying to be photographed, loved it, made no kind of objection to that. And so she's kind of been the pioneer for, you know, like being famous for for being famous. That's the tagline that comes along with her. And she was the blueprint for that.
She showed
that.
Kim how to do it.
Pretty much, yeah. So she's going out. She's doing her bits. Her parents are going mad because they didn't want her to get into modelling. They were mad at her clubbing and they were trying to get her to stop, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And
they just wanted to get her to 18, I think.
Yeah. And then she's with this guy and she's under more scrutiny than ever after this sex tape comes out.
Yeah. So in 2003, a sex tape featuring Hilton and then boyfriend Rick Salomon was leaked onto the internet shortly after the debut of her mainstream TV series, The Simple Life. Salomon filed a lawsuit against the company that distributed the tape and against the Hilton family, who he accused of tarnishing his reputation by suggesting that he had exploited Hilton. Hilton later sued the company that released the tape, Kahatani Limited, for $30 million for violation of privacy and emotional distress under the title, my favourite title of any sex tape ever.
One Night in Paris.
One Night in Paris. Salomon began distributing the tape himself in April 2004 through the adult film company Red Light District Video. In July 2004, Salomon dropped his lawsuit against the Hilton family after Paris's privacy lawsuit was thrown out of court. Salomon and Red Light District Video agreed to pay Hilton $400,000 plus a percentage of the tape's sale profit. However, in 2013, Hilton made a claim that she never made any money off her sex tape, saying, I never made a dollar. I make enough money in nice ways. My fragrance line makes enough. I don't need to worry about that.
She...
Have you seen it?
No.
Tell the truth.
No, genuinely. Have you?
No. I couldn't find it. I tried to look for it today.
She spoke about it in the two documentaries. And now the Paris Not France one came out in, what year does that come out in? I have it here. Like, obviously not as recently as this, and it's kind of more, it was closer to the time. Yeah, 2008. And then she spoke about it in both instances and kind of said in both instances, well, I think someone else said it in the Paris Not France documentary, but in This Is Paris, she said it was like being electronically raped. And she said,
yeah, it's the crisis manager said it in the other one.
She said if it was to happen now, it would be a totally different story as well. Yeah. She said it was, they just completely made her the bad guy in that scenario because she was someone who liked going out, liked being photographed, liked the attention, was young.
And she said as
was
well,
attractive, was rich, and people are just like, yeah. And also, like, I think the societal view is very different. And I think that kind of attitude of slut shaming and stuff was still, no, I mean, we obviously still have an issue with that. I'm not trying to say we're perfect now in 2020, but the prevailing attitude of the media as well wanted to be like, oh yeah, she absolutely deserved that. Sure, she was up and she put on the camera and whatever, blah, blah, blah. And now she maintains that it was a private moment. She was very much in love. She says in the documentary that she was kind of, he wanted to film it and he pressured her into doing it.
Because he knew she would be famous one day.
Yeah. But she was still famous at that point.
What age is she in that?
19? I'm not sure.
Did she not say in the Paris Not France, she's like, people said I was 18 in it, but I wasn't. I was a lot younger.
No, see, after that, people started leaking and started going on about like other clips they had of her.
Okay.
And there were other clips. I think that's what she was referring to, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
But you know what I just think about? Did you see all the stuff with Chris Evans in the last few weeks?
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
and
I
know, a skit, like.
It's, yeah, and I know it's not the same thing, right? It's too, for anyone who isn't familiar, Chris Evans, Captain America, like,
accidentally uploaded a picture of his willy.
Yeah, so I think he was playing like Heads Up or something with his friends and went to share.
Why was he in the nip?
No, he was a very different game of Heads Up. I think he went to share a video to his Instagram story and took a screenshot of his photo library by mistake. And like, there's a photo of a male wang, and there's a, but there was a really weird memes as well. Did you see the
we
one?
We can only assume it was his.
Yeah, we're gonna assume it's his, and like, he hasn't denied it. So like, but I don't think there'd be any point in that. Anyway, did you see the meme that he had saved to his phone as well? That was just a picture of him, and the text on the bottom was "guard that pussy."
No,
and everyone was like, "Why did you have that saved to your phone?" It was iconic. Anyway, so he ended up putting that as an Insta story or tweeting it or something, and obviously copped, deleted it. But at that stage, it was too late. Like, people had seen it, and people were taking the piss, whatever, blah blah blah. And like, Mark Ruffalo came out.
Do you think
like,
it was an accident?
Yeah. I do think it was, but like Mark Ruffalo came out and was like, oh, it's not that embarrassing, like Donald Trump is president, ha ha ha, because Mark Ruffalo
do no wrong. He can do no wrong.
I know, but anyway, like someone tweeted him and they were like, here, you absolutely have his number, would you just text him? Like, there's no need to tweet that. And then obviously he's come out since and like just been like, now that I have your attention, vote and whatever, and just been like, oh, it was really embarrassing, but like, be grand.
And it's just back to normal now. He's just back in America again.
And again, I'm not saying it's the same thing, but it kind of is in another way. And like, no woman would ever get the chance to have the last laugh about something like that.
Yeah, not one person called him a slag for doing
Like, if Paris was going to be like, ha, lol, like, whatever, and be really kind of dismissive about it, or any female celebrity, not that I think they should, because it is a massive violation, but again, I don't think they'd be given the same grace. That's all I'm saying.
They absolutely wouldn't.
And while I do think she would get much less of a raw deal today, you're still going to have the same people who are like, well, why did you sex him? Why? You know, like, why'd you do that?
Yeah.
You know?
And also, his name was Rick. Like, he had the same name as her dad.
Yeah. That's a name that... That's a name that Cian used to give in Starbucks in Canada.
is that his sheriff name?
No, it's sheriff.
No,
sheriff.
No,
Sheriff Turner.
Sheriff Rick Turner.
Sheriff Rick Turner. Sheriff Rick Turner, if you're listening.
Fionnuala's boyfriend's sexy alter ego.
Yeah. Oh, no, I feel bad now. This is going to be interpreted as something else. Yeah, but that kind of was in the same way that Kim did. It just kind of, she used that as a trajectory to jump off from, because like the fascination didn't stop. People were still obsessed with her, wanted to know everything about her, like in terms of like her, as her relationships went on, like the scrutiny never stopped.
Yeah,
it just kept going, and people like it didn't, as I'm sure, as I said, really violent experience, shouldn't have happened. But in a lot of ways, didn't really hinder her at all.
Yeah, definitely only made her more famous.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the documentary?
Do I want to talk about the documentary?
No, talk about The Simple Life, because that's what came after the sex tape.
Yeah, so, yeah, and there was that whole argument that it was very, well, it was very opportunistic because this was...
Yeah, people were saying she leaked it herself because she had a reality show coming out. Which is very similar to...
But he leaked it.
Well, that's what it said on Wikipedia, that he didn't, like, allegedly didn't leak it. And then he tried to sue them when it came out because they had accused him of leaking it. And then a year later, he went and just distributed it anyway because everyone was saying
I believe.
But I would say he did in the first place.
I believe that, yeah. Sorry, how fucked up do you have to be to go however many years later and just start distributing it then? He's a dog shit person.
She said in that 2008 documentary, she was like, some of my friends have said he knew I was going to be big. He knew I was going to be a somebody. And he kept it all those years and just waited for his moment to cash in.
Sick. Yeah, The Simple Life. Her and Nicole Richie, BFFs, grew up together. Nicole Richie is obviously Lionel Richie's daughter.
Were they actually friends before the show?
I think they were, but I think the whole BFF thing was played up between the two, like, because there were a couple of other people lined up before Nicole. Who was it? So, like, we mentioned actually before we started recording, so, like, Kimberly Stewart. Who else?
Oh, yeah. I was like, who's Kimberly Stewart?
Kimberly Stewart. Casey Johnson.
Would she have featured in that? Mm-hmm. Why do I know her?
She did like a lot of reality shows, I think. Yeah. And she's just kind of famous for being Rod Stewart's daughter. Initially, they wanted Paris and Nikki. They wanted like the sister duo. And then Nikki didn't want to. She didn't want to be in the spotlight. Paris said she'd do it on her own. They wanted, the TV execs wanted a duo. So as I said, they approached Kimberly Stewart, Casey Johnson. I can't really remember who she is. But yeah, so basically saw her and Nicole Richie hold up in small town America, working a series of average Joe jobs for 5 seasons. During its run from 2003 to 2007, Simple Life depicted Hilton and Richie doing a variety of extremely unsocialite-like tasks, from milking cows to working drive-thrus, all the while making us cry laugh with iconic catchphrases like, that's hot, and loves it. Sharon Klein, who was the VP of casting at Fox, when she met Paris, said, I'm used to meeting actors who are putting on a facade. She was so real. She was funny. At that first meeting, she did not come off stupid. She was in her own reality and not embarrassed to talk about it. There was a sweetness to her. So,
which is gas, because Paris has come out and said now like that she was putting it all on.
Yeah. But that first series, yeah, it's them on a farm. Like, as I said, they worked in a drive-thru at one point. Like, it's kind of, I don't know if it would, if they'd get away with it in this year, because it kind of is a bit of them, like, don't get me wrong, like, they're, the catchphrases and all, and them as characters is very funny. But there is an element of them kind of cosplaying being poor as well. You know what I mean? It is a bit like,
yeah,
haha, let's send them to fucking wherever in America and, like, have them laugh at the fact that they go to Walmart and whatever. You know what I mean?
But there they was, do that in a lot of shows.
I know, but that's...
Cosplaying being poor.
I think it was a small bit.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I think it's just, like, giving them a bit of a reality shock. Because they're literally so, so rich.
I think there is that as well. But, like, I don't know. I don't think they'd get away
with...
What
about, like, that show Secret Millionaire? Do you think they're cosplaying being poor?
Well, no, but because that's a completely different purpose.
They're playing being poor.
No, but, like, they're going and they're giving people the money after, like.
Yeah.
But what are Paris and Nicole doing, like?
I'm sure people were getting paid. I don't know.
They're landing in their, like... Well, like, there was a... I had a bit from an article. Yeah, Glamour kind of did a piece where they were like, why they don't think it would fly now. And they said the show wanted to benefit from the humiliation culture that dominated entertainment in the early and mid-2000s. So, like, that whole thing of, you know, sending the shittest person out on X Factor just to make gas TV or whatever. What? He's good.
Who's the first one that pops into your head when you hear, like, the joke act on X Factor?
Maybe, like, the jockey gal or Don the Jockey or... Who were those two lads that had a fight over...
You thinking of Britain's Got Talent?
No.
Dawn the Jockey.
She came in and was like, I'm a jockey. And they all start pissing themselves laughing for no reason. Like, Louis and Sharon are, like, in convulsions.
Oh. Okay.
There's two...
Oh, yeah, yeah. She's not a jockey. She's just wearing a jockey hat.
No, she's like, I'm an apprentice jockey. How do you not remember this?
I'm looking. I do remember it. It keeps coming up on TikTok.
And, like, do you know those two lads who had the fight over the chicken? And then they auditioned together.
No.
They were dog shit anyway. That wasn't even funny, but...
Do you not think of the live shows?
What?
I immediately... When you think, like, joke act on X Factor, I always think that the live shows and there's always...
Or, like, Johnny or, like, who's your man,
who's
Chris?
Johnny?
You gotta stop saying that and then be like... Do you know what
he was... naming really...
No, he was, like, old and had a really high-pitched voice. He sang in a really high register.
Okay.
Do you know a man about you? Googling him.
Johnny Robinson? No. Yeah, it was Johnny Robinson. Oh, he was a dote.
Or what was your man?
Oh, he was cute.
Who's your man, Chris? And he was obsessed with his granny.
Chris Maloney.
Or Chico, yeah. He was cute. I'm not saying he wasn't, but he was a
Chris
joke
Maloney
act. Like,
loved his ma.
Was it his ma or his granny?
His granny.
Anyway, yeah. So that went on. It was originally on Fox, as I said. The show moved to E in 2005. Season had many complications during production. Was originally supposed to start November 2006 and air in March 2007, but was put on temporary hold as Nicole had to go to rehab.
Ruh-roh.
And then production resumed as of March 2nd, 2007. However, more complications arose. Both Paris and Nicole faced major charges for DUI and were at risk of serving jail time. Paris was sentenced to 23 days in jail, though this was after production of the season had finished. Nicole accepted a plea deal and was sentenced to 4 days in jail, again after production had wrapped. The show's first season was a reigning smash for Fox, drawing in roughly 13 million viewers each week. Seasons 2 and 3 were successful to slight dip when they moved to E, but the numbers were still strong. Paris has said about it since, because people have asked, like, was it real, were the jobs real, whatever, and she said it was a very small town, so the producers asked the family we were staying with what jobs were available. We do whatever job or task we could, so if the job would entail, you know, working with cows, that was just part of the job. We'd always make it funny somehow and do something to get in trouble. And there's been talk about a reboot for a while, but they've both kind of said no. Nicole said recently that show was what it was and it was so much fun, but that concept wouldn't even work in this moment because, remember, we'd leave our lives for a month and we didn't have any phones. No phones in this day and age just wouldn't work. We're almost 40 years old and I can't imagine leaving my kids. We've got real jobs now. We were 20 or 21 when we did it. It was like backpacking through Europe, something you did in your 20s. Yeah, okay.
I can't believe they're nearly 40.
If I could say something to my younger self, I'd be like, do it, because when else are you going to be able to go and do that? That's what your 20s are for. And then I think there was a fan account milling around last year and was like tweeting kind of fake graphics of like Nicole Richie and Lindsay Lohan, that was kind of reboot, whatever. And then Paris came out and was like, FYI, someone has made a fake fan account and invented this hashtag, the Simple Life rumor. There is no truth to it. Yes, I love that show and I was approached again to do it, but I had to say no as I have an extremely busy work schedule, traveling the world, running my empire. Empire. Hashtag girl boss, crown emoji. Who would be in the reboot now?
You always ask me this. I'm never prepared.
It'd be fucking Tana Mongoose. And
who?
She's a YouTuber. People will know, but it'd be her. Alison and like Ray. Oh
no, who,
God,
like, who
yeah.
grew up rich? Like,
they need to be rich.
Mason
and they need to be
Disick.
They need to be interpreted as being not intelligent.
But I think girls just go through a phase when they're like 19 and they just think pretending to be stupid is funny.
Yeah, but there's also a misogynistic element to it, I think. Yeah, where they like I think there was a thing where they actively wanted them to be laughed at, not laughed with.
Yeah. Who grew up rich?
Like, not the Kardashians.
Maybe one of the Beckhams?
They're all too old now, are they?
The girl's not.
Yeah.
Harper's only like 7. Harper's 7.
Who else? Sorry.
What a story.
Surrey Cruz is probably fucking 21 at this point, actually.
Michael Jackson's kids? They're all adults.
No,
they?
They're all adults.
We're bad at this.
Any other TikTokers or fucking YouTubers? James Charles or someone, you know what the fuck?
Your one.
Emma Chamberlain.
Willow Smith.
I'm not playing this game with you anymore because you just say names.
That was a good one.
I don't think Willow Smith would do that.
Well, the other one then, the boy.
Willow Smith is woke and I think gets it. You need someone who the character wouldn't get it, like.
Okay.
So probably fucking like Jake Paul or...
They're full grown men.
Willow Smith is a full grown woman.
She's only like 19. She would have been the same age as these were at. Like Jake Paul is 35. Like.
He's not 35. Jake Paul is the same age as us, I think.
No,
I refute
that.
Okay. You can't refute facts, but anyway. When's it stopped you before, says you? Obviously, we just talked about Nicole and Paris. Spent a lot of chat about their friendship over the years because, as you said, they were thick as thieves doing the show and...
Then they fell out.
Yeah, they fell out in 2005, allegedly because Paris did not invite Nicole to her Saturday Night Live hosting gig.
Oh, God forbid.
And then according to People, Nicole responded by screening an intimate video of Paris at a party. That's a bit shite.
What's that? What was she doing?
I mean, that's open to interpretation, I would imagine. So she was caught in
the hop.
Yeah. In April of that year, Paris released a statement saying, "It's no big secret that Nicole and I are no longer friends. Nicole knows what she did, and that's all I'm ever going to say about it." So this was in the midst of the Simple Life. So this was after season 3. So there was kind of there's a big break, not a huge break, but there's a break between season 3 and season 4. And the intro of season 4 is them kind of like talking about how they patched things up. So they reunited in 2007. And open up about their relationship. And in there's this whole skit where they're like in a Starbucks and Paris like goes up to the counter and like sends like a cookie over to Nicole that has something like iced in it. And Nicole's like, "Oh, excuse me, I didn't order this." And then she turns around and it's like, "Oh, the lady ordered that for you." And then they turn and they're like staring at each other. It's very, very peak noughties reality TV. But in the season 5 premiere, Paris turns to Nicole and is like, "I don't even know why we were fighting. I think it's just the tabloids." And then Nicole was like, "I just want to let you know half the things the tabloid said that I said were not true." And then since then, they've seemingly remained friends. Paris is somebody that's been in my life since day one, is something that Nicole said during a 2014 interview.
Paris standing there, she's coming out of the womb. Like.
Yeah. But they hadn't talked in ages. But Paris then, more recently, she was on Watch What Happens Live and someone called in and was like, "Are you and Nicole still in touch?" And she said, "I love Nicole. We were actually texting 3 days ago because it's our high school reunion. So she was reminding me of the date." So they're like, not like busy mates, but they are still in touch and it's all good, I think.
What do you think? Our big feud's going to be over when it comes?
Don't know.
Fair.
You're trying to start it right here, right now.
No. I would would not be surprised if in a few years' time they end up on like season 54 of Real Housewives. They're very that now. Like,
I could see Paris doing that.
I could see Nicole doing it. To be honest, she has the husband and kids and all.
Yeah, but I just don't
you
think
have to
she
be a housewife.
Like. I don't think she. I know, but I don't think she is.
Paris can't.
I understand that, but I think she has said openly that she really wants kids and really wants a marriage.
Yeah,
and I think that would be a nice like end game for her because
is she still with that freak from the documentary?
No.
Oh, thank God.
I'll get into that, but Nicole has no interest in that. Do you think Joel Baden is going to want to do that?
Is that
absolutely
who she's
not. Yeah.
I knew
the
that.
Dream. Paris was dating his brother for a while, Benji, who is now married to.
That's real friendship.
Who?
Benji.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Is he married to one of the Cimarelli girls? Who Benji Madden is married to? I know this one. One of the Spice Girls? No, give me a minute.
Come off it.
I have no idea.
Actress. Benji Former Madden. Actress.
No, I know it.
Not really in the spotlight anymore.
This could be anyone.
Blonde. In the Mask.
Cameron Diaz.
Yes.
Oh yeah, they just had a baby.
The Spice Girls. I'm fucking.
There's a lot of people in the world.
Yeah.
What did they call their baby again?
Willow. What?
They only had a baby.
Oh
like.
No, sorry, Cameron Diaz. Yeah, couldn't tell you.
I'm gonna look it up.
Do you want to hear about the other TV shows Paris is on?
Radix.
Oh, I fucking hate that. Yeah, put the shower gel. Radox. Radox, unleash your senses, but don't
Radix.
Put on
it's
your.
It's a girl. Radix. Tingle.
Yeah, but why? Like,
I don't know.
Girls That's don't funny, like man. Boys. Girls like cars and money.
Good Charlotte, we're good.
They were good.
What's the
great
song?
Charlotte?
What's
what's the song and it's like oh no that's the same song yeah, and it's like I was thinking of the verses and it's like but that is literally Girls Don't Like Boys.
Just
sorry
the intro.
Do you want to hear about the other TV shows or no?
Yeah.
So you do you
I want to hear about Good Charlotte more but let's go
when are we
that.
Doing the Good Charlotte episode. Paris Hilton's my new BFF. Did you watch it?
No, it didn't. Like when you said it to me earlier it vaguely rang a faraway bell but I don't think I've ever heard of it.
I don't think I watched it but I remembered the promos for it and it's basically as you can imagine it's a reality TV show in which Paris Hilton searches for her new BFF.
That's very MTV was it?
Yeah. Premiered on MTV in the United States on September 30th, 2008.
Do you remember
that?
September.
Shut up. 16 women and 3 men competed in challenges in an attempt to become her new best friend.
Where's the equality there?
There was a guy called Anch on season 1. So that's N. Oh no, sorry. It's O.
Silent N. O-N
C-H. O-N-C-H Anch.
Anch.
He said there's one bit.
Is he a duck?
There's one bit where they have to like face their fears. So Paris makes him go on a roller coaster and he starts being like, I just want to be your best friend, Paris. I don't want to be tortured like this. If you want me to die, then just shoot me. This is too much. My heart is going to stop.
Honestly, me and Tato Park.
I can't feel it beating. Breed on Cucullin. So he was I don't think he won, but he went on to like co-host the second series. Good for him. So guest stars
that
on
was
the series.
Aunt.
Yeah. Guest stars included Benji Madden, Kyle Richards, Richie Rich, Trevor Raines, Kathy Hilton, Fergie, Simple Plan, Ryan Seacrest, other people. Second season premiered the following
what
year.
What were 2009. They doing? Coming on trying to be her best friend. No.
No, I think they were obviously there for like what the challenges, you know.
Okay. Richie Rich is in what's his name?
Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
No, I'd say he's a rapper or something, is he?
Yeah, must be. So there was a second season in 2009, as I said, so clearly the first one didn't go that well. Hilton said that she did not stay friends with season one winner Brittany Flickinger because...
Because we're shit last night.
Because I loved her and I trusted her, but sometimes people get too caught up and they change. So there you go. Season one contestant Anch appeared as a co-host.
Can't take that seriously.
Dubbed the life pet by Hilton. And then other guest stars included Santino Rice, our good friend.
Oh, I hate him.
Kathy Hilton. Doug Reinhart. Do you remember the other reality show he's on?
Doug Reinhart?
Yeah.
No.
The Hills. He went out with Lauren for a spell. He also went out with Paris.
Who didn't?
That's rude.
Take it back.
So then she did a series in the UK and she did a series in Dubai. Flat out. Hilton has emphasised she no longer wishes to play the dumb blonde character she portrayed herself as in My New BFF and Simple Life, stressing that the My New BFF franchise is finished for the foreseeable future. Later, Hilton went on to clarify that it's probable that her BFFs from each series will all be brought together for a showdown series of sorts. While emphasising that other countries across the world have still asked her to film further versions, she said, "I've really enjoyed doing it, but I have enough BFFs." Hilton has since given the final word on the future. Yeah, I can't relate. On the future of the franchise by stating, "Producers call almost every single day from every country around the world wanting me to do BFF shows. Italy, Germany, Russia, Japan. I've been offered to do it everywhere, but I feel like I've really grown up and the show is something that was really fun. But I'm 30 years old now," says interviews from a while ago, "and I feel like I've moved on from the show." Hilton added that she is still in touch with former winners from the series and contestants who didn't make it to the final. Because on her YouTube channel, I was kind of grazing through and she's... You can see her go into some art show from that Anch did. I think Anch is like a jewellery designer now. Good for him.
Good for Anch.
Good for Anch.
Those shows, like, you're never going to meet your best friend on a reality show. Or your husband, like. Do you know, like, yeah. In those ones where it's, like, forcing you to do it. Like, The Bachelor, how many of them are actually still together?
Oh, I'm sure a lot of Bachelor people would dispute that. But then The Bachelor people, it becomes, like, an institution. They all just get with each other anyway. You know what I mean?
I was talking to Katie about this the other day. Do you remember, did you get beat in Cork? No.
No.
It was, like, the radio station in the southeast, but they did, like, a blind wedding. It was probably, like, 15 years ago now, where they literally just got two, like, listeners. And they got them married, and they'd never met before the day of the wedding. And I don't think they even, like, lasted the day before it was annulled. Like, it was really, like... Oh, build fair. Up to be to just not work out.
That was like,
it never works out.
Oh, do you know what I remember? All of these reality shows just remind me of a time when it was of a time when we had just gotten an interview and we were watching it and I was just consuming this media that was absolute like rot for my brain.
Yeah.
Do you remember even all the Jodie Marsh shows she had about, because she had one that she had like 30 days
I
won't
have a
husband.
Bad word said about Jodie Marsh.
No, I actually have a lot of time for her now. But do you remember, and she had like white ribbons along her, like her nipples and like a skirt and was like holding these flowers and it, like the promo images were deranged. Like,
and what was
so,
the premise?
So naughty. She had 30 days to find a husband.
Oh.
Jodie Marsh.
Yeah, like Married at First Sight, Are You the One? None of them. Like, how many of them actually have worked out?
Yeah. Have you started Married at First Sight Australia?
No. I've seen all the UK ones.
Everyone keeps telling me to watch it, but...
Watch the UK ones. They are very good. The most recent one actually isn't as good, but the early ones are very entertaining.
When are we doing the Jodie Marsh episode?
Jodie Marsh was mentioned on our first ever episode on this podcast.
Was she?
Yeah.
Why?
I think we were talking about lip fillers.
Oh, yeah. I think because she's gotten everything undone, has she? Or...
Don't know.
Why can I not find the show? Oh, this is so annoying. Totally Jodie Marsh was actually what it was called, but it was like...
What did you call it? 30 Days to Find Hope.
But I think it was that she was giving herself... it was, the teaser was, "I'm getting married this September. Only problem is that I don't have a man. Men were invited to submit an application for a series of open auditions for
did
the chance
work?
To marry
no.
Marsh that September. And we filmed the search and subsequent wedding."
Who did she marry?
Matt Peacock. Okay. They did not stay together.
They never do. That's my point. Talk to me about This Is Paris.
This Is Paris. Yeah, so it's obviously free to stream now on YouTube. Kind of, as we said, it's like her trying to invite people in and
show the real
to get
Paris.
People to know the real side, and that she's like a really astute businesswoman, and that it's all a character, and she puts on this kind of like girly baby voice or whatever. And
The walk. Did you notice the walk when they, at the very start of the documentary, they're like, "Okay, we're just going to get you walking your dogs through the house or whatever." And she's like, comes around the corner and she struts around the corner in her house.
Even her mannerisms.
They're like, no, Paris, go back. We want a real walk. And she's just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
She just can't. She's like, when there's cameras on me, I can't
be
myself.
So it's kind of, it's following that, but there's also, to be honest, there is a large focus on her coming out with allegations against a boarding school that she went to where she says she suffered like physical and emotional abuse. To be honest, do I think the documentary is worth watching? Yes. But I will say, and I've said this to everyone, if you followed her in any capacity, especially in the last few years, you will know that it's been...
That's what's coming.
That it's, well, not, but that it's been an act. Like, no,
oh,
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, none of it really... None of it was really surprising to me. Like, I knew that... Like, I knew her voice wasn't real. Like, I knew...
Yeah.
Because it's alluded to, maybe not as explicitly, but it is absolutely alluded to in the 2008 documentary. And she did The American Meme in 2018, which was a documentary that followed, like, other... Her and three other social media influencers. And... That's what that's
even in the 2008 one, like there's it's like, oh, that's not me, that's not me.
Yeah. But like it's kind of weird. In the 2008 one, she was like, oh God, I don't there's a line at the start where it's like, gee, I don't know how this all happened in terms of referring to her fame. And then in This Is Paris, she's talking about the sex tape and about how like she had a plan. She knew she was going to get famous. She knew she was going to get famous. The sex tape was never a part of it. And then I'm like, which is it? Or was it a case of she was still kind of playing that character in the 2008 documentary? I don't know.
Yeah. I do think it is like definitely more a more relatable Paris in this one. But I do think as well, it tries very hard to be like, I'm so shy. I'm so quiet. I'm actually just a normal girl. Like she's not a normal girl. She's never been a normal girl.
No. She does. It's more relatable, and she is a lot more likable in it.
Yeah,
but at the same time,
it tries very hard to be like sincere and But it is good.
It's relatable to a point. Like it's not like it's like there's a lot glossed over as well because obviously there's stuff mentioned at the start. Like she's voted for Trump. Her family are very good friends with Trump, and he features very heavily in that 2008 documentary.
Yeah. He got her a modeling contract.
Yeah, as we say, she was initially signed to his. Modeling agency. He's nowhere to be seen in this most recent documentary and is not mentioned at all. When she goes around and she's looking at family photos and there's photos of the family with like Reagan or whatever, she's like, yeah, my family have always been very conservative. And then it's just kind of like this pause and like this almost kind of like we all know what's being meant here. And it's just because she like there's been some dodgy shit that she's come out and said in support of him, which I don't want to say I get, but I do get because they're obviously friends. Like, it's not surprising is what I mean. They have been friends for decades. Hilton and Trump's oldest daughter, Ivanka, Trump have been friends since they were kids. So it makes sense that Hilton was among his many supporters when he did decide to run for the election. Just weeks after the 2016 election, Hilton appeared on an Australian talk show. She was promoting the book, Confessions of an Heiress. I'm not enunciating at all. And she was asked pretty much straight out, did you vote for him? And she was like, I've known him since I was a little girl, so yes. And then obviously there was all this, you know, he's come out and that fucking locker room, like grab her by the pussy talk, whatever. Again, she must have been asked about this in another interview. And she kind of like downplayed it and said, I've heard guys say the craziest things ever because I'm always around guys and I listen to them speak. And then you've had people come out and accuse him of sexual assault as well. And she came out and was like, oh, these women are just trying to get attention and fame. Now, she's since kind of backtracked and apologised. And she said, they were part of a much larger story and I'm regretful that they were not delivered in the way I had intended. I was speaking about my own experiences in life and the role of media and fame in our society. And it was never my intention for my comments to be misapplied almost a year later. Now, I don't think this is true because the original interview that she said that in, like the transcript was released. I think it was at Marie Claire. But anyway, she said, moving forward, I will continue to do what I can to be an advocate for girls and women with the hopes of providing a louder voice for those who may desperately need it. Like, it doesn't get right with me. You know, like, it's very hard to be like...
Well, she's only getting one side of the story and she's getting Trump's side from the inside. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So she's never going to know, she's never going to see it from an outsider's perspective.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, there's
she's
like
saying
there's
the words, but like...
There's an obvious bias there and I get it, like... I get it, but I just wish it wasn't the case. Like, you know, people love to be like, oh, like, LGBT icon, whatever. And it's like, okay, but I mean, like, she is... When you consider the platform that she has and how much change she could do. It's sad.
But it shouldn't fall on her either.
No, and I'm not saying that her coming out and saying it would fucking change the world or get him out of office. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know. It's just a bit, when I see people kind of like praise her as this meme and this like pop culture icon, I'm like, yeah, okay. But I mean, I really, like, you can't just ignore that either. Like,
and no,
I just,
but you don't have to. You can't, like, one doesn't negate the other, you know?
I know, but yeah, I just think she kind of got away with that a bit easily as well in the documentary, like.
Yeah, oh, definitely. But sure, it's her documentary, so.
Yeah,
fair. She's obviously going to gloss over the shit bits.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Well, if I knew that I was going to be actively criticised for it, yeah. But then, I mean, like, don't make it out like it's this fucking...
Like, if she put into the documentary how, like, if she talked about Trump or how she was, like, family friend and how she supported him in that, you'd still be giving out. You'd be like, why would you say that? You have such a big platform.
I mean, I still would.
It's more...
I still would, but I mean, there's a thing of, if you're going to make out like this is the most honest you've ever been.
Yeah, but
I'd probably have to applaud her for being honest and just being like, even if she's been like, he's a family friend. Or like, you know, like it's... Yeah. It is what it is.
I just think when you have a platform that big, you just have to be careful what you say. And if it's something that's not going to go down well, you're probably better off just staying quiet.
No, obviously, because it would jeopardise her brand.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and it would influence younger ears as well.
How do you mean?
Like, if she's going to come out and be like, I think Trump's great, then... Maybe
I know that's not what I'm saying either, but
maybe some people hear that and be like, oh, maybe he is great.
No, but that's not, like, as I said, that's why I get why she hasn't come out and been like, denounced them, because it, even beyond her brand and the platform or whatever, her family would probably be like, what the fuck, we're all busy mates, like, this is gonna be mega awkward in the next barbecue, like, it's,
yeah,
I don't know, it's just, it's the one disappointing thing about her, but like, it's also not surprising, like, she's mega fucking rich, like, it's just, it's mega rich, like, and it's never made any bones about the fact that, like, it's never been a secret either, but like, it's just, it's a tricky
one. What do you want from her? Like,
I don't know. I would like her to not support Trump, like, it's just not possible in this,
yeah,
in this world.
So the documentary also, like, leads to this big secret she's been keeping that no one knows about her for years. I didn't know it was coming. Had you heard about this school before?
Because this was like a week out before I'd watched it, I kind of seen bits and bobs in the media of her talking about abuse and whatever, blah, blah, blah. But that was about the height of it. I didn't realise it was in this particular instance.
Yeah, so Paris goes on to explain that at age 16, she spent 1 year at the Provo Canyon School, a therapeutic boarding school for emotionally troubled teens. And while attending, she claims that she was abused both mentally and physically by staff. Hilton and others from the school recall being restrained, forced to take medication, put in solitary confinement, hit and strangled. She attended the school for 11 months from 98 to 99 when she turned 18. And at the end of that documentary, then she comes out with the Breaking Code Silence when she reunites with other girls that were at the school at the same time as her, which is a social media movement that encourages alumni to share testimonials. Code Silence is when the students were ordered to ignore and not speak to classmates who were being punished. So they're all about breaking that now and talking about what actually happened when they were there.
Like, very grim situation.
Very grim. I really didn't like the whole, like, how she was literally, it was one of those situations where she was taken from her bed by guards and her parents watched her be.
Yeah, sorry. So the reason why she was sent here was because
she was
in the midst of her, like, heavy partying phase, and the parents were just like, nah, like, we can't be hacking this anymore, you need to go. Well, they didn't even warn her about it, I don't think. It was,
no, it was, they woke her up in the middle of the night with people bringing her out of the house.
She was put in, she talks about being put in solitary confinement at one point without her clothes and stuff. Like, it's, it is, like, beyond words. Like, it's very, very grim. And like,
the fact that her mom didn't even know,
yeah,
after all those years, you know, what actually happened is very sad.
Yeah. And obviously, like, I think it's important that the other victims get a platform in this, which she does. And you meet, like, to hear them speak about it is, like, harrowing. Some of the experiences they've had, like, we won't say too much in case you do decide to watch it, but it is pretty fucking sad now, to be honest. They, at the school, haven't come out and said anything. There's a thing at the end of the documentary where...
The school was sold in 2000.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's still practicing the same way as it was, but like, the people who own it now have come out and said, we have no responsibility for whatever went on before 2000.
Yeah.
And the people who had owned it at the time have not said anything, I don't think.
Yeah.
She was sent to a few other schools though, and she just kept running away.
Yeah.
Wasn't that what happened? I think she rang her granddad to come pick her up, and she'd like hop walls and jump down flights of stairs.
She was like an absolute brat.
I was going to say she was a bit of a Ted Bundy. She absolutely was not. But you know the way he escaped and she would like jump from like top floor windows and all?
Yeah.
That's what it reminds me of. That's my problem though.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, she was very kind like off the rails, for again want of a better expression, but she kind of admitted that herself. But also is like at one point she's talking to Nikki and Nikki is like, have you ever apologized to mom and dad about what went on? And she's like, no, obviously because of the, like the trauma, because of what she went through and whatever, which is completely understandable. So yeah, it's mad though. Like I can imagine being in that situation for that long. I'd say it's just very, very degrading, like, and kind of makes sense for the way she acts, like, especially more so in this documentary than the 2008 one. Like, it's very, she's very childlike in some instances, you know what I mean? Like, she's very,
yeah,
it's like she didn't grow up.
But they
like
say that about, I've said this before, but they say that about people who got famous, that they stop aging at the point they hit like peak fame, or like they gained like sudden fame. And yeah, you see it with Paris, you see it with even like her auntie Kim. I will stop talking about Real Housewives, but her auntie Kim was like one of the famous of the three sisters, most famous, and she is literally like a 7-year-old in the body of a 57-year-old.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like it's just hard when she would grow up so sheltered.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that freak boyfriend.
Oh yes. Well, she's had a few now.
That one,
she's been through the mail, hasn't found the one. So this guy that features in the documentary, his name is Alex Novakovic. He's a former professional athlete, played soccer from 2007 to 2017 for a number of smaller German clubs, most recently for the German club FC Koningsfeld in 2017. But these days, these days his main gig is being an influencer, going by Alex Supernova on Instagram, where he shares photos of himself at music festivals, expensive hotels, and on private jets to his 162,000 followers. He works for an influencer marketing company called Social Collab, and his title is listed as PRO on the company's website. He features in this documentary because he's Paris's boyfriend at the time, and the scene where we're kind of introduced to him is where Paris is setting up like spy cams in her gaff.
Yeah, that was weird.
Because he is staying there.
That was a bit produced, like.
Yeah. But then I don't know. Like, is that just like.
That's definitely like.
Yeah, is it just tying the whole thing at the end? Because she's like, oh, I have trust issues because of the.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. He's staying there for the weekend or something, or his house sitting. So she's setting up these spy cameras in the house to see. They're not together that long. This is his second or third time coming over from Germany to see her. They met at Ultra Music Festival and things seem to be going fine, and then she's going to play Tomorrowland, which is like the biggest set she's ever played. Get into her DJing in the minute because I think that's really interesting. But they basically have like this huge argument before she's due to go on.
He's a freak.
He has her laptop and he's mining her laptop. There's a set in it, but
he's a bit drunk.
Yeah, definitely a bit drunk. And is kind of not being very careful with the laptop. She's having a banger because this is like the biggest show she's ever done as a DJ, naturally. And kind of tells him to cop on. And he's giving out because she's doing all these interviews as well. So they're basically just like having this huge fight that stems from that. As she's going on stage and he's like shouting at her, and it's very uncomfortable to watch. And then at the end, she's like, get his artist's wristband cut off. Like, I'm over this, blah, 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 and they break up. But she is dating someone else now.
I love that she was like, get his wristband off him and get him out of here.
Yeah.
And they just did it.
Yeah.
Imagine snapping your fingers.
She's dating Carter Room at the minute, businessman, and they watch Simple Life together. She was engaged, and that seemed to be.
That's like me going out with someone and sitting down and making them listen to this with me.
You're saying you haven't done that? That's me making Kian watch all my Instagram videos.
All your TikToks.
All my TikToks. Here, is this funny? She was engaged. Her most significant boyfriend was actor Chris Zilka. He proposed to her with a ring worth
the size
2
of that ring.
Million. It's huge. Oh my God, look up her ring. Not in that way. In January 2018, during a vacation in Aspen, after 1 year of dating, they called off their engagement in November 2018. The implication seems to be that he cheated on her, I think.
Based on what?
Based on kind of what she said in the documentary, I think.
Can we get done for defamation on that?
Allegedly. We don't have any money, Paris. She has a lot of money from all her businesses.
She's really, really rich.
In 2015, Forbes reported that Hilton is worth a cool $100 million. And in the documentary, she talks about how she wants to make a billion. And like, that's her goal. And I kind of appreciate how honest she is about the fact that she just really, really wants
to make a
billion.
What are you going to do with $1 billion, though?
Don't know.
What's the point?
But this is the thing. She said, she was like, I thought I'd be happy when I hit 100 million. And then I just realised that it's like, yeah, you just can't stop.
She'd never live long enough to spend it, really, would you?
Yeah, that's the thing. You can't take it to the grave. In 2012, Hilton told FHM that her fragrances alone had produced more than $1.3 billion in revenue since 2005. Likewise, Celebrity Net Worth reports that Hilton is worth $300 million, which accounts for more than $2 billion she's grossed from her 17-plus fragrances. There are more than 40 Paris Hilton stores worldwide that sell her various products, ranging from perfumes to handbags to shoes. As we said, she's released 2 books, Confessions of an Heiress and Your Heiress Diary. And then in terms of inheritance, obviously because she comes from money, in 2007 it was widely reported that her once $60 million inheritance was going to charity after her grandfather pledged 97% of the $2.3 billion fortune to various causes. She still nabbed around $5 million and likely has a trust fund from her father, Rick Hilton, who has a net worth of $300 million on his own. Because she's been very adamant that like she never got any money, she's earned it all, blah, blah, whatever. But like when they're all dead, she is getting a few spandoulies, like
a big envelope.
The DJing, mad scene. So she started DJing.
I can't believe she's a DJ.
And a very
like a proper one. Like.
A very successful one.
Not just putting her face through it. Or is she just putting her face through it?
See, this is up for debate, right? I'll get into it. But she started DJing in the summer of 2012. She said people didn't take her seriously. She told Billboard she was nervous about taking on the challenge, but once she got the hang of it, she couldn't see herself doing anything else. I've just been having the time of my life, Hilton stated in 2017. I didn't realise what a huge success I would be. She's been professionally DJing I don't know when this interview came out, 2017. So this says 7 years, add on 3. She's DJing for pretty much 10 years. And she did a 5-year run in Amnesia in Ibiza. It was the first big party she'd ever checked out on the island. When she went with Nikki, she told her parents that they were going to Cannes and then went to Ibiza instead. Like, lol. Haha.
Gotcha.
Gotcha. Gotcha, ma'am. Oh, you thought I was going to be in Cannes. Oh, I actually went to Ibiza. Imagine. Rich people are fucking insane.
I'd say her mom doesn't even care.
Yeah. She met the owner on that first night and says she knew even then that she would one day be behind the booth. And then she spent a lot of time with DJ AM, who was previously engaged to Nicole Richie as well. So she kind of got an interest from there. And then she did a profile with Time Magazine when she was in Amnesia. And it reads, Hilton's job as a DJ starts when she wakes up, often late in the day, after going out to other clubs to support her fellow DJs and friends. Except for Saturdays, when she stays in. Same. She puts together an extensive playlist for the night, with some songs getting a personalised remix or mashup. I've always been a huge tech geek, she says, for her approach to editing and playing. Right now, she's using the newest high-end Denon equipment. Means nothing to me. By 2 a.m, she makes her way to her dressing room, and as she rises up to perform, she's calming her butterflies. Hilton goes right for the feel-good favourite, spinning techno remix of nostalgia classics like Oasis Wonderwall and Michael Jackson's PYT. Tonight, club goers are also treated to some of her original music, which she performs live while twirling around a pole. She hosts weekly kid-friendly DJ parties for local families.
That's cute.
And mentions a recent visit to an orphanage in India to play tunes. Good for her. Also,
I'm sure they really wanted that.
Yeah. One critic wrote in 2017, Hilton is not a musician, but rather a brand name. The critic also stated that Hilton has been known to benefit from a lot of help during DJ sets. So in the middle of her...
What's a DJ set?
What did I say? DJ. Hey, Mr. DJ, put a record on. You know what I meant. So when she debuted at a festival in Brazil DJing, and she mentions this in the documentary as well, that there's like this photo that went viral of a guy like doing one of the knobs or whatever on the deck. I should fucking know this. And that went viral, as if to be like, oh, she's not even DJing, for fuck's sake, whatever.
He was just turning it down or something, wasn't he?
That's what she says, right? I do believe that she can DJ, right?
Yeah.
How well, I'm not sure. But like, as someone who knows how to fucking do it, once you know how to like beat match.
You're the person who knows how to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm joking. Fuck you. Once you know how to beat match, and if you spent like a good solid few hours practicing, you could do it well.
Yeah.
So I do believe she can. And like, especially with EDM, like, it wouldn't be incredibly hard. Do I think she's great? Probably not. I read an article of some guy in Australia like reviewing her, and he said it wasn't good at all. Now, this is a few years ago. Maybe she's a lot better. Like, she played Tomorrowland last year, was due to play this year. It's like one of the biggest fucking dance festivals in the world.
She gets a million for that, doesn't she?
Yeah. Paris doesn't pay attention to critics.
Imagine being shit and getting a million for it.
Yeah. But as she said herself, inventing getting paid to party, I'm sorry, people want to hate on that. I think it's pretty awesome. And she said it right.
She said it right.
And she tries to get, like, when she's booking these DJ gigs, she tries to get booked until 4 a.m. She says, as a businesswoman, I want to get the biggest fee possible. So I want to go to places where they have a budget and it'll be worth my time. She's in the top earning of DJs. Like, she's not...
They said she's the number one female DJ in the world.
Yeah.
Is that
money wise, like, yeah, I would say. She's easy to get, because you are paying for the name as much as anything else.
Yeah.
You're going to go even out of sheer curiosity just to see
her.
Yeah. But and that's the thing, like, you can dispute, like, whether her mixes are incredibly clean or whatever, but if you're going to bring people to the dance floor and people are having a laugh, then you can't dispute that, you know?
You can't, yeah, you're dead right.
As a DJ myself.
I know, you're just sitting there with like your patches on your elbows.
I haven't fucking touched the decks in 6 months, I'd say, but anyway, we'll get there. Anyway.
Is that it?
What else do we need to... I think that is it. I do think it's worth the watch, and like, it is free and...
It's not very long.
It's not very long. It's an hour 45.
It is pretty long.
Don't watch that 2008 documentary, because it's very shite. Fucking 2008, the way it's shot and everything. It's actually painful to watch, and yeah, it's very poor quality on YouTube. But if you are a super fan and maybe want to compare and contrast, then do. But if you watch the newest one, then you don't need to watch the old one, because it covers a lot of the same stuff. Do you have any parting thoughts on her?
Not really.
Great.
She's very likable in the documentary. Do I care about her beyond that? Probably not.
Do you know what
Will I
thought?
Will I like keep up with her? No.
Do you know what I thought was interesting though? This whole thing of like how she was the architect for kind of the world we have now in terms of like taking selfies and...
Yeah, they said she was the first person in the world to turn the camera around and take a selfie. I don't know if I believe that.
She's probably the first person in mainstream media. She probably wasn't the first person ever.
That's what I was like. Imagine someone out there definitely did it first.
I thought that was very interesting. And do you know the whole thing where they were like, oh, do you feel responsible for that? Because she starts going on the spiel of, oh, and these girls, and they can't go, but they can't.
Yeah, and they're like, you
not wear
this.
Filters. And the person behind the camera is like, okay, but do you think that's your fault? Like, it kind of is. Like, and she's like, yeah, no, I do feel responsible. I feel like she might think that, but I also feel like she does not care.
No. That's what I'm saying. Like, a lot of those, like, that documentary was absolutely set up to make her look like a lovely, good person. And she probably is, but, like, I really don't think she cares
about
13-year-old girls putting filters on.
I don't think she's evil. I think she cares about getting her bag and going home.
Yeah.
I think she is, like, money motivated to the end.
Yeah.
And, like, why not? Do you know who didn't look nice in that documentary? Kim.
Kim Richards?
No, Kim...
Burley Kardashian.
Yeah. Kimberly Kardashian West, yeah.
Two Kims.
Do you know, like, she, like, I'm just so used to seeing her on Instagram where she's like perfect. Like, the camera fucking did her dirty. I kind of enjoyed
Paris
it.
Did that on purpose, I'd say. I honestly, I don't think I saw that. I think I was looking at my phone.
She's in it for like a second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got her and they got Kyle Richards because she's like created the whole Housewives thing. But they could have got, I kind of expected to see Nicole, and I expected to see.
I'd say Nicole was like, nah. Or maybe Paris was like, nah.
Maybe, yeah.
In fairness,
what's Kim got to do with it, really?
It wouldn't
now,
really
like.
Be fair to get Nicole involved if they really haven't been close in the last few years.
But, like,
I mean?
I don't think her and Kim have been close in the last few years.
Probably not, but you're talking about someone who grew up with them as a child as well.
Yeah.
And also, it's just a name. I don't know. There's no way Nicole is not interested in any of that shit anymore. I fully believe that, like, they're cool and they're grand. Nicole is done.
Yeah.
Nicole wants to do her fashion,
be
married to fucking Joel and run around with Harlow and whatever the fucking rest of them are called.
The dream.
I thought Nikki's confessionals were like
Nikki
funny.
Was so beautiful in it.
Yeah,
I just couldn't get over it. She's so glam. She looks like a royal.
Yeah, she does. Yeah,
because she is now. Well, she's not really. She's more of like a social royal. What's that called? They're very gossip girl, like, aren't they?
Mm, yeah.
Anyway, that's yeah. all I have to say on that. Do you want some mini bandwagons?
I do want some mini bandwagons. Yeah.
I don't remember if I've said this a couple of weeks ago, but maybe I have.
Great.
I finished a TV series called Drifters.
Okay.
It was E4. It's on Netflix. It's Jessica Knappett. You know Jessica Knappett?
Yeah.
Jessica Knappett and Lydia Rose Beaulieu, who are the girls in the Inbetweeners movie.
Okay.
I think it's the first one or the second one. I can't remember. And then a third girl, Lauren O'Rourke. And it's basically like the female equivalent of the Inbetweeners. It's very, very funny.
Okay.
It's a real grower. It's only 4 seasons and then it got cancelled. But there are some really, really good episodes. I would highly recommend it. If you want like a light hearted, easy binge.
Okay.
Something to put on when you're having your dinner.
Yeah.
It's called Drifters.
Okay. What's next?
I started the George Gibney podcast. Where is George Gibney? It's with BBC Sounds and the Second Captains. And a lot of people were talking about it. So I had high expectations and it's really lived up to them. It's really, really well produced. They're releasing it week on week. So I think there's only 3 or 4 out at the minute. It's about a famous Olympic coach charged with child sex abuse, but never stood trial. And instead he disappeared. So it's these two guys who go and look for him and I think they find him. And it's based, a lot of it's based in Ireland and across the US. So it's very good.
I hope they find him and arrest that dickhead.
Yeah. Watch this space. And then finally I've started Ryan Murphy's new series on Netflix last night. Me and Alice put it on. It's called Ratchet. It's based on the character from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I can't say those words in a row. And it's a prequel to the book. I think it's an adaptation. It's very good if you like all that kind of campy, gory stuff that Ryan Murphy does, like American Horror Story, Scream Queens. I don't know.
He's keeping Sarah Paulson in work.
He really is.
Like, thank God.
What age is she now? Because she looks great.
I couldn't tell you.
It's her, Cynthia Nixon. There's a few other, Charlie Carver, you know, the Carver twins. One of them's in it. It's good. It's very Ryan Murphy.
Yeah.
It's better than Hollywood because Hollywood really put me off him.
Oh, really?
And now I'm back in. Hollywood was not good.
Yeah.
And now I'm back in. It's very good. It's very kind of gruesome.
Okay.
They're my big three. Do you have any to add?
Do I have any to add? No, I'm still watching ER and Beverly Hills. Sorry, I did start I Made a Story, but I'm only 2 episodes
in. Oh, I want to watch that as well.
I'm not sure, but I know people are going to get mad right
to me. I have such high expectations for that.
No, I'm pretty sure it does get really good, but like,
what are you watching it on?
BBC iPlayer.
Okay.
With a VPN.
We could do a whole episode on Michaela Cole. Yeah.
Yeah, she's fucking unreal.
She's class.
Could we do a whole episode on Michaela Cole?
Yeah. Well, let me watch it and see.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I'm doing now. I feel like I had something else to say about
Paris.
Maybe we should start. No, I was going to say maybe we should start shouting out fucking restaurants or something.
Maybe we should. We should talk about this all.
They're going through a really bad time.
Yeah.
What?
You're just saying your thoughts out loud now.
Yeah, sorry.
And I'm worried.
Sorry.
Maybe we should start shouting at Shane a bit more first before we reach out to other
people. Shane? Collaborative Studios. Thank you. That's a new jingle. We can use that from now on. Shane cut that and just drop it in all the time. Thank you to everyone for listening. New on the Patreon this week, we did School of Rock. And it's quite good. Breathe shrugging. you can sign up via the link in our bio on Instagram. Make sure you follow us there. Make sure you follow us on Spotify. Make sure you leave us a review, but only if it's nice. We're Bandwagons Podcast everywhere else on social. Breed is smiling. What are you smiling about?
Will I tell them what we're doing this week for Patreon? Or have we not decided?
No, don't. Just in case.
Okay. Because we did that last week and then we changed.
Yeah, I know. We need to stop.
I just thought.
We are going to do Kylie Jenner probably at some
stage. No,
we're not. But we might.
No. We're going to have to do something real like.
If she gets pregnant again, we are going to have to do her or something like. Everyone's going to be fucking talking about it.
Next week we should do something really like not away from like reality TV and like those kind of people.
Okay.
We've probably lost a lot of our people who hate Kardashian listeners for the last 2 weeks. We'll get them back. What will we do next week?
Don't know. What are you
Football.
Thinking? Football's coming home. It's coming. No, let's not do
let's
sport.
Let's think about it a bit more.
Yeah, let's think about it. Thanks.
Right, sure.
Bye. 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 Thanks for coming in, Breed. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye. 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 Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Confidence starts with loving who you are. And when your skin feels nourished and glows on the outside, you naturally radiate confidence from the inside. Give your skin a glow-up with Osea's clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This ultra-hydrating body care features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. These seaweed-powered heroes use skincare-level ingredients normally reserved for your face for results you can see and confidence you can feel. Osea has been making clean, clinically proven seaweed-infused face and body care products for over 28 years. This luxurious skincare is vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code GLOW.